Welcome to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. State officials were hoping that Vermont's new healthcare exchange would be fully operational at the beginning of this month, but the online payment system still isn't working. Some small businesses are concerned that time is running out for them to purchase policies through the exchange in order to have coverage beginning in January. Lieutenant Governor Phil Scott thinks the Shumlin administration should delay the mandatory implementation of the law for at least a year to give the state ample time to thoroughly test their systems and to ensure that businesses won't experience a gap in coverage.
This is a huge endeavor. This is something as biggest thing that we've faced, I think, as a state from a technological standpoint ever. So we may have... Maybe we should have planned just a little bit better. Maybe we should have given a little bit more time, whatever it takes to make sure that we get this right and give comfort to Vermonters.
The Shumlin administration strongly disagrees with this approach because it feels the exchange will be fully operational in the near future and certainly in time for individuals and small businesses to purchase their coverage for 2014. So what kind of shape is the exchange in now? And how will small businesses sort through some of their new options that are being proposed by the administration? These are some of the questions we have for our guest today. Mark Larson, the commissioner of the Department of Vermont Health Access, that's the group responsible for the operations of the exchange, which is known as Vermont Health Connect. Also with us, Robin Lunge, the director of healthcare reform for the Shumlin administration. Welcome back to the program. It's great to have you here again.
Thank you.
And you can join the conversation here at Vermont Edition. Give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Perhaps you have some questions still about the healthcare exchange, how it works for individuals, how it works for small businesses. This is a great opportunity to ask some questions and get some specific answers to your questions. Perhaps you've had some experience with the exchange. Maybe it was positive. Maybe it was negative. Let us know what your experience was and what you think about this exchange. 1-800-639-2211, or you can always send us an email at vermontedition@vpr.net. Well, let's start with the whole thought of the online payment system for small businesses. Governor Peter Shumlin announced a number of options for small businesses to get their coverage for 2014 at the beginning of November because the online payment system wasn't working. They could extend their current coverage for the first 3 months of next year, or they could purchase their policies directly from Blue Cross or MVP and bypass the exchange. And at that time, the governor said his goal was to have the online payment system up and operating by the end of November.
We're testing it right now, as you know. We are hopeful that those tests will continue to go very well. As I've told you, I've learned a lesson as governor. I'll never say a date again, but I'm very hopeful that we'll have it up and running by the end of the month.
Commissioner Larson, let's start our conversation with you today. You announced earlier this week, at least for small businesses, that the online payment system isn't working. But you did say that individuals could finalize their coverage plans by getting an invoice and paying for that bill using a check or a money order. And you called that development a milestone for the exchange. Why is that a milestone?
I appreciate your question. And so that's a milestone because that is the step that it takes for Vermonters who don't get their insurance through work to be able to be enrolled in a Vermont Health Connect plan for January 2014. So coverage is what we have really focused on, helping Vermonters get covered. And while we would love to have the ability right now for Vermonters to pay by credit card, what's really important was making it so that Vermonters could go from selecting their plan to being able to get their invoice, make their payment, and have that result in them being enrolled in the plan of their choice. And so right now, Vermont Health Connect is fully operational to help Vermonters who don't get coverage at work to be able to compare their plans, create their application, select the plan that's best for them and their budget, get an invoice, pay their premium, and be able to have coverage for January 1st. That is very, very significant, and I think really is a major step forward.
So we should underscore that point, that individuals are able to go to the exchange, and if their choice is to get a bill for their coverage, this is a process that they can finalize right now.
That's right. And it's important to remember, too, that for individuals and families, again, who don't get coverage at work, they also can, in creating their application, find out if they're eligible for financial help, which can help them with both their premiums and out-of-pocket expenses. Through Vermont Health Connect is the only way that individuals and families can access that financial help that many, many Vermonters are finding to make their health coverage more affordable next year. So a very important step forward. We're as frustrated as anybody that the online, that credit cards are not being able to be processed online right now, and that our ability to invoice small groups is not possible. But on that level, we want to emphasize that, again, coverage is the important part. And with the options that the governor provided, we can identify that of the Vermonters who were covered by their small business this year, that the options provided have been able to provide them coverage for January so that those Vermonters won't experience gaps in coverage. Almost two-thirds of those Vermonters will be directly enrolled into a Vermont Health Connect plan in January that will last the entire year. Others have chosen to do the governor's option of an extension of their 2013 plan until they can then complete their application by April for April 1st coverage that will continue in a 2014 Vermont Health Connect plan for the rest of the year.
So we've got about 3 weeks before the end of the year, and small businesses probably would like to sign up through the exchange, but the online payment system isn't working. And in reality, we have less than 3 weeks because they've got to get their applications in. How confident are you that this system is going to be working in the next week or two?
So what I'm confident about is that the options that the governor announced in early November are providing a pathway for coverage. So again, two-thirds of those Vermonters who are covered right now by their employer, a small business owner, they're already in the process through Blue Cross or MVP, through the process of being enrolled for a 12-month 2014 Vermont Health Connect plan. Others have chosen to extend their plan. So right now we have in place the ability to have Vermonters covered, even though our ability to invoice small groups is not available through Vermont Health Connect today. So the important part for small groups is that we have put in place the options that allow them to have coverage for January 2014.
Today in the program, we're looking at the healthcare exchange. Our guest, Robin Lunge, who is the Director of Healthcare Reform for the Shumlin Administration, also Mark Larson, the Commissioner of the Department of Vermont Health Access. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. So, Robin, small businesses are looking at this, and there were some options that the governor outlined at the beginning of November. Now there's a new option this week as well. What do you say to those small businesses that they seem a little confused by what's going on?
Yeah, I think that's understandable. For most businesses, however, as Mark just said, they made a choice to enroll directly with the carrier. So the option announced this week really just impacted a very small subset of folks who had not made that choice or had not actively chosen to extend their plan. So I'm hopeful that many folks knew what choice that they made a couple weeks ago and that they know that they're all set. Both of our carriers send their bills out in early December around the 10th of the month, so everyone will be getting a bill for their coverage in the next week or so.
Betsy Bishop is the president of the Vermont Chamber of Commerce, and when she heard about the new options available this week, she called on the Shumlin administration to delay the mandatory implementation of the exchange for a year.
I think the best approach right now is to find a simple solution for businesses so that people can be insured by January 1 and there won't be further changes in the 2014 insurance year. So if businesses need to extend their plans for a whole year to make sure that their employees are covered and that payments are made for that year, that will give all of us enough time to make sure that the system is working well.
That's Betsy Bishop, who is president of the Vermont Chamber of Commerce. Robin, delay for a year? I mean, you've already decided to let businesses delay for 3 months. President Obama is talking about a delay of a year. Why not have a delay of a year in Vermont?
So there's a couple of reasons. First of all, a one-year extension is not practical. It would cause more confusion, it would cost small businesses more money, and it would also impact potentially the costs of the 2014 health plans. So in order to extend plans for a year, they'd have to go through the process of getting a new premium. And that process, of course, didn't happen for those plans because they were expiring at the end of this year. So that process would have to take place, which effectively puts a small business owner in the situation of extending a plan and not knowing how much it would cost.
And Bob, so, if I could add.
Absolutely.
You know, I think the two goals that Betsy pointed out were making sure that people had coverage for January and that there wouldn't be further changes that cause confusion. And I think that the governor has provided the options of the direct enrollment with a carrier and the extension of plans with the idea of making sure that those who get their coverage through a small business owner would have coverage in January. We're seeing that play out by the numbers who have either directly enrolled through Blue Cross or MVP. Again, that's about two-thirds of Vermonters who get coverage through a small business owner. And then others have taken advantage of the extension. I think we're very concerned that adding the idea of an extension, which means different things to different people, actually would enhance the confusion that people are feeling. And the governor has said consistently that this is a marathon and not a sprint. And what we want to do is make sure that we complete the process of the transition to the 2014 implementation of Vermont Health Connect and not turn back at this point and actually add more confusion, which we're concerned an extension would do.
Let's go to our listeners and talk to Randall in South Burlington. Hi, Randall. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, Mark, Bob, and Robin. My question is this. I currently have an employee who I have Blue Cross Blue Shield with. He's had insurance with me for about 15 years. Starting January 1st, he may become a subcontractor so he can sell for other people, including myself. And we've been trying to get him signed up on Vermont Health Connect since November. He entered a question, does your employer offer health insurance? He said yes, because I do offer it in 2013, but I will not be offering it in 2014. Instead, I will be paying him, the difference between the subsidy that he should qualify for under Vermont Health Connect and what I'm paying now. He has been unable to get his health insurance set up. He's called the Vermont Health Connect help number. They keep telling him, give us 5 days, give us 10 business days, give us 15 business days. We've offered to withdraw his application, resubmit it. They said, no, don't do that. We're getting really nervous because the end of the month is rapidly approaching, and I just want to get some relief for him so he will have health insurance January 1st that on his own so he can take it with whether he wants to stay with me or he wants to go to work for somebody else.
Randall, thank you for the question. And I'm sorry for the process by which your employee has gone. It is important if there are changes that need to be made in somebody's application that they do call the call center. The number there is 855-899-9600. We can assist them in making the changes that need to occur in an application that is pending. And if another avenue would be to submit a question at Vermont Health Connect at state.vt.us. We'd love to reach out and know that experience so that we can help make sure that that application is correct so that he or she can have coverage for January 1st.
Today in the program, we are looking at Vermont's new healthcare exchange. If you've got questions, give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. This is Vermont Edition on VPR. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. We're looking at Vermont's new healthcare exchange, Vermont Health Connect. Our guest today, Robin Lunge, Director of Healthcare Reform for the Shumlin Administration, also Mark Larson, the Commissioner of the Department of Vermont Health Access. Our phone number, 1-800-639-2211. Robin, we still get a lot of emails about Catamount Healthcare and people who are on the Vermont Health Access Plan, VHAP. Could you just review very briefly for us what's going to happen to those folks?
Yes, absolutely. So it depends on what their current income is coming up for 2014. So as many folks may have heard, the income eligibility for Medicaid has gone up. So if someone is currently on VHAP or Catamount and they have become eligible, newly eligible for Medicaid, we will be automatically moving them into Medicaid. So they would have gotten a notice indicating that to them, so they should be all set. They don't have to do anything. For folks that are over income for Medicaid, they also got a notice saying, please go into Vermont Health Connect, sign up for an individual plan and financial help, and we'll send you a bill. Folks at this point can do that at any point. But as you may also remember, the other thing that we did in order to ensure that we knew everybody had coverage for January 1st is that we extended Catamount and VHAP coverage through the end of March. So folks on Catamount and VHAP, if they do nothing, they'll remain on Catamount and VHAP for another few months. But we are encouraging them now to go in, pick a plan, sign up for financial help, and then they'll get a bill.
Commissioner Larson, there are some national polls that were released this week that suggest that a fair number of young people, as many as 30% of the people under 35, are not going to sign up for coverage across the country. Instead, they're going to pay the fine, which could be anywhere from roughly $95 to 1% of their household income. But they're going to choose that penalty rather than get coverage. And I'm wondering, doesn't the success of the exchange hinge in part by getting this group of young and mostly healthy people into the insurance pool? Otherwise, you're left with older and sometimes sicker people in the pool?
It is important that young people sign up, and it's important not just for the importance of, you know, spreading risk around both healthy Vermonters and those with more significant health issues, but most importantly, it's important because health coverage is important for young people as well. While when you're young, you can often feel like, I don't necessarily want to pay for insurance every month. I don't go to the doctor very much. I'm young and healthy. Everybody is one accident, one injury, or one illness away from a significant medical bill. And we want to encourage all Vermonters who don't have insurance to come in to Vermont Health Connect, call our call center, again, 855-899-9600, to take a look at the options, see what it would cost to have coverage. For young people, there are catastrophic plans available if they want to have less coverage but have some coverage, and some may qualify for the expanded coverage under Medicaid, which can provide a very comprehensive coverage at low or little cost. So it's important that young Vermonters take a look. We want them covered, and we will make the point frequently, as we have in the past, that our current system is too complicated and it makes access too frustrating and confusing for people. That's partly why we want to move in the long run to a universal system where the issue would be, are you a Vermonter? And if the answer is yes, then you're covered. And we avoid some of the frustration that people experience today.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Steve in Burlington. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind?
Well, just a note. I've tried unsuccessfully about three times now for myself and my daughter to get on the system. It will work eventually, but one thing that your guest said today that people should know, I was told you can call Blue Cross and MVP for information, but don't sign up directly with them. I thought one of your guests said you could do that, but they said you should not be signing up directly. You should sign up through the exchanges.
All right, Steve, are you looking for insurance for yourself as an individual or your family, or are you looking at it for a small business?
No, individual. Any if they still not sign up directly with those, like maybe it has to do with getting a subsidy if you're entitled to one.
Absolutely.
That is exactly the issue. So when somebody is an individual or family, they are eligible to apply for the financial help available through the Affordable Care Act and Vermont's premium assistance. The only way to know whether you are eligible for that is through an application through Vermont Health Connect. You cannot go directly to Blue Cross or MVP to access that determination. And so that is why Blue Cross and MVP will direct you back to Vermont Health Connect, where you can choose the MVP and the Blue Cross plans, but you'll also be considered for your eligibility for the financial help that's available.
Well, Mark, I mean, I can look at the eligibility guidelines and tell pretty quickly whether or not I'm going to be eligible for a federal subsidy. Let's say I'm not going to be eligible for a federal subsidy. My household income exceeds $60,000. Can I then go directly to Blue Cross, or do I still have to go through the exchange?
No, thank you for the question. You still go through the exchange if you are an individual or family that doesn't get insurance through work. All of those applications come through Vermont Health Connect, and it's important to go back and reemphasize that we are fully prepared today to accept applications, have people select their plans, to be able to invoice them for the plans that they select, collect their payment, and then enroll them in the plan of their choice for individuals and families who don't have access to insurance at work. So we really want to encourage those individuals to come in now to, if they've started an application, come in and finish it. There are a number of events this Saturday for people who want assistance. We have an enrollment event tomorrow from 10 to 2 where at 9 locations across Vermont, there is an opportunity to sit down with somebody and get assistance in creating an application. So we really do want to encourage those Vermonters to come in and complete their applications.
And I just had a couple suggestions for Steve in particular, if he's having some trouble using the website. If he hasn't already contacted a navigator in his area, there are a number of navigators in the Burlington area. They can assist if you're having trouble navigating the site, or you can also call the call center as well to get help with that. So I know some of us have easier and harder times with websites, and there's definitely help out there if you're having trouble navigating the site.
Got a lot of people who have questions and comments about Vermont's healthcare exchange. Let's start off with Joan in Burlington. Hi, Joan. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm a CPA, and I've been a huge supporter of the Affordable Care Act, and I've spent a lot of time with my clients, talking to them, explaining the ACA and how to enroll, and encouraging them not to to keep their focus on the Affordable Care Act, not on the logistics of the implementation. But I'm very distressed about the decision that was made earlier this week to delay businesses for a few months. And I don't think the administration realizes the implications this has for small businesses. A huge amount of time and effort has gone into enrolling their employees and helping them choose plans, working out with the families. And I don't feel like it's very, very disrespectful to the small business community the way this was handled.
Commissioner?
So, Joan, I appreciate your comment. And so we understand that this isn't really a technology project. This is a healthcare and a human issue. This is about people accessing healthcare, which is in a very, very important part of their sense of security and their overall health and well-being. The challenges that we've had with the implementation are a frustration, and they have caused a lot of anxiety and confusion for a lot of people. That's why the governor in late October, early November, announced the options for small groups that allowed small business owners to go directly to Blue Cross and MVP to enroll in Vermont Health Connect plans. They were given the option of extending their current coverage, and many, many Vermont small businesses did so. That's why of those Vermonters who have coverage through a small business today, over two-thirds, starting January 1st, will be in a Vermont Health Connect plan that will continue throughout the entire year, and others will have through March to be able to make their selection and But I want to come back to, I want to be very respectful of the fact that the process of implementation has been a challenge and it has impacted people in a very real way. And we acknowledge that and take responsibility for the important work that's left to do. And that's why we want to continue to make sure that we focus on that work and get it done as quickly as possible.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Mark in Rutland. Hi, Mark. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'd like to know who was responsible for hiring the same company that the federal government hired. They've obviously proven themselves incompetent on state level and the federal level to do the job they're hired to do in the time they're supposed to do it. And I'd like to know what kind of vetting process was done to hire these people as opposed to somebody else.
Commissioner?
So, Mark, I am the one who's responsible for the process of procuring the contract with CGI. We did so through a process that was consistent with our state procurement process. I think that I would go back to, I fully understand and appreciate the challenges. We have worked very, very hard to make sure that Vermonters get what we contracted for when we contracted with CGI. We've taken that very seriously and will continue to access every opportunity that we have within the contract to make sure that we get what we asked for and we only pay for what we have received. So I appreciate the frustration and share it. We need to really focus on moving forward and making sure that what isn't done gets done and that we take advantage of the rights that we have in the contract, given where things are at today.
Can I just chime in, too, and give you a little more details about how the contracting process works? We did look at several different bids. It was a competitive process through what's called a transitive procurement process. It's a little bit different than the typical RFP process, but we did look at a lot of vendors. And I think the important thing to know about the vendors in this area is that looking at them across the country, they've all had trouble. So if you look at another company called Oracle, they did Oregon's exchange. Oregon doesn't have their exchange up even today. So even there are a number of companies who have done this in multiple states, and part of the problem was the timeline. And it's just important to recognize that there's no vendor out there who did a magically terrific job.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Jane in Montpelier. Hi, Jane. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I am a psychologist in private practice, and like Joan in Burlington, a real big supporter of the Affordable Care Act. Meanwhile, after filling out a paper application on October 31st with a navigator, I still don't know. I've received no notification of eligibility, no premium bill, and my husband chose on the basis of this new insurance to retire. I had been getting my insurance through him. So I called the Health Access Line Wednesday. I was on the queue for 2.5 hours, and then I was told that my application is there. They're being entered in the order they were received. And hopefully I'd be hearing from you all soon. And I feel, I guess, pretty anxious.
Robin, what should this person do?
Hi, Jane. Thank you so much for calling. I think I totally understand why you're feeling anxious. There is a bit of a backlog right now at the part of the Department for Children and Families that processes the paper applications. They are working very hard to get through that backlog, nights, weekends. So we are working through those as quickly as possible. Our goal, obviously, is to ensure that we can get everybody a bill out very soon so that there's no worries with coverage. One thing that you should know, however, is that even if you pay as late in the game as December 31st or even January 1st, we will make sure you have retroactive coverage to January. So even if you don't have a card in hand, January 1, you will be covered. So I think there is still time, and I just want to reassure you that there's time left.
See if we can get a quick call in from Nancy in Rutland. Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks. I signed up the other night on the website, and that part of it was easy. Over to income for Medicaid, and I get a small subsidy of some sort. So then I went on the other section of it to compare the plans that are offered by Blue Cross and MVP. And I was shocked to see how high the deductibles were, because I thought that was a thing of the past with this new health care. And, you know, I'm wondering, am I reading this right? That the deductibles are between $700 and
$1,500? Hi, Nancy. This is Robin. Thanks for your call. Yes. So in the what the Affordable Care Act did was set up several standards of coverage that are basically different deductible amounts. And it's still a private insurance system. And so, yes, there are still deductibles. And the range that you mentioned is sounds right to me. I don't have the plan designs right in front of me today in the studio. But I hear you that deductibles are a part of insurance that a lot of people have problems with. It is sort of a standard way that insurance works today.
Just to wrap things up, Commissioner Larson, if our listeners have further questions, what's the best thing for them to do?
So they can call our call center, 855-899-9600, go on our website, www.vermonthealthconnect.gov, or look for information about a navigator or broker who can help them get answers to their questions out in the community.
And we'll have all that information at our website as well, so people don't have to quickly write it down. Just go to vpr.net, and we will have that information there. Mark Larson and Robin Lunge, many thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you, Bob.
Coming up next, I'll talk with reporter Pete Hirschfeld about the political aspects of the rollout of the healthcare exchange. This is Vermont Edition on VPR. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Well, there are a lot of legal and political questions surrounding the operations of the state's new healthcare exchange. Will the state try to get sizable penalties from the contractor that missed a series of key deadlines? And what will be the political fallout with the difficult rollout of the exchange? And with us now to consider these questions is Pete Hirschfeld, who is Bureau Chief of the Vermont Breast Bureau. Pete, you did a great story this week that looked at the whole question of penalties that the state might be seeking from CGI. That's the lead contractor of the exchange. So what's the situation here?
It's been up in the air for a while about whether or not the state was going to avail itself of provisions in the contract with CGI, wherein it could impose what are called liquidated damages. Essentially, these are penalties, financial penalties, for having missed key benchmarks and deadlines or critical milestones, as they're referred to in the contract. What we saw in a letter late last month sent from Mark Larson to CGI is what constitutes the payment dispute notice that has to be filed in order for the state to collect those damages. They told CGI we're going to withhold payment in the amount of $5.1 million, which is the maximum amount of damages, liquidated damages, that the state is contractually allowed to withhold. And so CGI will now craft a response to that. It's unclear whether they'll challenge it or accept it. But that is pending, and that's the latest with the issue of the damages.
So do you think the letter serves as a warning to CGI that the state expects better performance going forward, or is the fact that the penalties can be capped, does CGI, you know, doesn't take it that way?
Well, I think the state says, look, the scope of the problems that we've incurred as a result of CGI's shortcomings and failures, and those are the two words that Mark Larson used, actually amount to $26 million if we added it all up. All the penalties that you've incurred as a result of missing these deadlines, if we add it up, it's $26 million bucks. Now, granted, we're only contractually allowed to get $5.1 million of that. But that $5.1 million could become a key bargaining chip. And what are going to be some pretty uncomfortable negotiations now between the state and CGI. let's remember, they still need a working website, the state of Vermont does, and they need CGI to deliver it. They're going to want CGI to invest all kinds of corporate resources. They're going to want them to bring in new people, and they're going to want them, most importantly, to agree to new deadlines. And if they have this $5.1 million bargaining chip, then maybe CGI will be more inclined to give them what they want.
So let's look at the political side of all of this. We've seen former GOP gubernatorial candidate Randy Brock be very critical of the Shumlin administration. Lieutenant Governor Phil Scott has called for a one-year delay in the mandatory implementation of the exchange. What do you see as some of the political fallout?
Well, in most recently, you've seen Brady Tensing, the new vice chairman of the Vermont GOP, has been filing his own set of public records requests, wherein he's seeking correspondences between administration officials sent on their private email and private phones, text messages. This is a guy who was referred to by prominent members of his own party as an opposition research guru, and they're very excited to have him on board. So add him to the list of people, long list of people that are looking to make political hay out of this. I think they're getting their ducks in a row. I think you'll see a lot of this begin to surface when the legislature reconvenes in January. And then certainly they're going to be trying to make this an issue on top of people's minds as we head into the 2014 elections.
So how much of a problem could this be for Governor Peter Shumlin?
Peter Shumlin has proven very adept at insulating himself against these kinds of political problems. House Democrats, though, might have a more difficult go of it fighting them off. There are a lot of House Democrats that voted in favor of the mandate to force small businesses into the exchange, to force individuals into the exchange. And in tight districts where Democrats pulled out narrow victories by a few dozen or a few hundred votes, look for the GOP to invest some resources in those districts.
So what can lawmakers really do when they come back? Is it mostly an oversight role?
It all depends on whether or not the website is working. If the website is still not working in late January and early February and payments still can't be processed, you're going to see a lot of pressure ramping up on legislators to approve the year-long delay that we see the Chamber of Commerce asking for, that we see a lot of business interests asking for, and that we will probably see an increasing number of rank-and-file lawmakers asking for, Democrat or not, if those functionality issues aren't resolved.
And if they are resolved?
Then I think you're going to see the focus shift from the exchange to single-payer and public financing for a universal health care plan. The administration looks ready to go with not a full-on public financing plan, but they are showing quite an eagerness here in the early going to talk a lot more about that than I think any of us had thought they would want to.
Well, no doubt that the next few weeks will be a critical time for Vermont's healthcare exchange. Pete Hirschfeld, many thanks for being on the program today.
Thanks, Bob.
And I'm also pleased to say that at the beginning of January, Pete will become the newest member of the VPR News team. He'll be covering the State House and state politics from our Montpelier Bureau with me. And he brings a huge amount of experience and expertise to our news team. Great to have you on board beginning in January.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's our program for today. Monday on Vermont Edition, the problem of drinking and driving during the holidays, the onset of office parties, get-togethers with friends, and holiday dinners with family usually means more holiday drinking. We'll look at some of the state's drinking laws and how they evolved, and we'll learn how law enforcement works to keep roads safer during the holidays. Our producers are Patty Daniels, Rick Sengary, and Sage Van Wing. We have production assistance from Tim Johnson. Neil Charnoff directed the show, and our executive producer is John Van Hoosen. I'm Bob Kinzel. Have a great weekend.